Ever since I was a child.
Mr. Gatsby, I'd like to know
exactly who are you anyhow?
And welcome back to Rotten Rewind. We are proud. Oh, sorry.
We are proud
Americans. We are a podcast. And on this podcast, we set up a little like speakeasy and talk about the movies that were not so legal at the time. I don't know. I'm trying to do a Great Gatsby thing.
They were not legal.
They were not legal. We just throw shirts at a bunch of rotten movies. If a movie's under the 60% threshold, we get to talk about it here on the podcast. I'm Courtney Quaranto. Yeah.
That's right. I'm Max Rue. Apologies in advance for my voice. I'm dying. I wanted my last episode to be the Great Gatsby. I especially requested this.
Just to specify, it is a 2013 Baz Luhrmann Great Gatsby.
Yeah, we're not talking about the Robert Redford one.
Which is probably fresh.
Probably. And there's a made-for-TV one with Paul Rudd, I believe.
Whoa. Is Paul Rudd Nick or Gatsby?
He's Nick.
Who's Gatsby?
I don't know. We're going to find out, though.
To me, he'd be kind of a good Gatsby. I guess he's not blonde, but...
Does he have to be blonde?
No, I don't think he has to be blonde, but I think that there is something like waspy about Gatsby that I actually think that both times Gatsby has been put on the big screen, he's been cast perfectly, and they've made bad
Redford
movies.
And DiCaprio.
Yeah, to the point that, like, I mean, we can get into how I watched this later, but, like, the friend group that I watched this with, we mostly kept talking about who would be Gatsby now, and we just, like, couldn't. Because, like, there's great actors. Like, someone like Dan Stevens is great, but...
Yeah,
but
he's not. Leo's kind of perfect for that.
But he's not super famous. He almost, needs to be like extra textually.
No one's super famous anymore, though.
Really, really famous.
You probably heard a third voice here. We're joined by returning guest. He hasn't been here since we talked about the great Autumn in New York and Sweet November, a very beautiful double feature we did. When was that? Was that 2 years ago now?
That was 2020.
Yep. Holy shit. My God. Yeah, that was 2020.
You're right, because I remember that I took a picture of my soup in Autumn in New York when I was watching. It's a very famous Portland soup.
We're welcoming back a very talented New York-based director, Will Breen. William Breen or Will Breen?
Willie?
William Breen's fine.
William Breen. William Breen. Welcome back, William.
Hi. Breen. Thanks for having me back, guys. It's good to be here. Great today, we're talking about another New York-based movie, filmed in New York.
Mm-hmm. No.
I don't think a frame of it was, like, framed on Earth. Like
Planet green screen.
The 2000 Paul Rudd Great Gatsby, a man named Toby Stevens plays Jay Gatsby?
No, I'm sorry. Gatsby needs to be famous.
I don't know who this guy is. Apparently, he's in 13 Hours, which I've seen, but I don't know who the fuck he is in 13 Hours.
Henry Cavill.
No. Gatsby.
Chris Evans is Nick, directed by the Russo Brothers.
Nick has to be kind of schluffy.
Basically just shot like the opening scene of The Gray Man.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
Yeah, I guess you just do Gosling and Chris Evans. Yeah, I don't think anyone's famous. Maybe Austin Butler in like 10 years.
Yeah.
Depending on his trajectory.
I don't also know who's like famous and like kind of schleppy to play Nick anymore. Like,
look, nobody can ever
repeat
the work of the great Tobey Maguire in this movie.
Oh my God.
One of the most memorable performances.
I cannot believe that they didn't like start shooting and are just like, we're good. We're going to call you off. It's like when you send like someone home that's like not doing any work at a restaurant or like has a bad attitude. Like, you know what? You're good. You can go. You can step away.
Yeah.
Let's go home tonight.
Yeah. Is Lucas Haas hidden away in this film? Because I wasn't sure whether or not Tobey Maguire's presence.
They put the rest of the pussy posse in the back. Okay. Kevin Connolly's somewhere in there. It's a little Irish guy running around.
I'd imagine this was bankrolled by Leo DiCaprio being like, look, you have to put one friend
in this movie. It must be.
Produced by the pussy posse.
On paper, I actually think that Baz Luhrmann is like the right director to adapt The Great Gatsby. And then put to practice, it is one of the most dated messes I've ever seen. And so, which is to say, like, I had a great time.
Yeah, I'm curious because you had picked this episode out a while ago, Will. What? Why?
Honestly, I don't remember.
He wanted to give me a Christmas present, and I want to say thank you, Will. Thank you for picking
this
movie.
You're very welcome. I'm glad you enjoyed your time spent watching
it. A little background on how I watched it. We had like a legitimate snow day here in Portland. Like, it was fucking so snowy. I have a tradition with my best friend that, like, no matter where she is, I'll like walk. So I like walked 3.5 miles to her house, made her dinner. And then because I knew I had that chip in my pocket of being like, well, I did walk here and make you dinner. She was like, what do you want to do? And I was like, well, I kind of want to watch the 2013 Great
I'll tell you Gatsby. Exactly what I'd like to do.
So then she had to be like, okay.
Funny you should ask, mushrooms, old sport.
And then we took mushrooms and watched The Great Gatsby.
What is this tradition where you will walk anywhere?
Well, it's happened because like a couple years ago, Erica was in town, but when she was living in LA, and she was only in town for a few days, and it fucking snowed so bad. And I was like, well, I'm not going to lose a whole day with my best friend who doesn't live here. I'll just fucking hoof it. And then as soon as it snowed this year too, I was like, oh, I'll just go to you. It's fun.
It's not really a tradition. It's more something that you just kind of...
It's a tradition if I say it is.
Sure.
Well, to answer your question, I've no idea. I have no memory of what the options were.
You had originally picked, you said you wanted to do this and Ocean's 12. You were going to be our guest on Ocean's 12. Some things happened. So
right. That I think I'd wanted to do because I didn't initially enjoy it and I wanted to reevaluate it. With this, I had not seen it since opening weekend in 2013.
Okay.
Having had just read the book, being so excited and being initially let down by it, I think my opinion has changed slightly.
Oh, cool.
Ever so slightly.
Ever so slightly. Okay.
Yeah, I don't want to overstate my feelings toward it, but
yeah. I guess...
And we've all read the book here, I'm guessing.
No, I've never read this book in my life. I don't read books. When Boz makes the movie, I'm there.
I don't know if this is the same for you, Will, but even this rendition of this movie, which is sort of like wild, it made me like appreciate the actual text more, because I think that Great Gatsby is one of those books, because you oftentimes read it at sort of like freshman year in high school, that gets like the, well, you know, it's like it's a lesser Fitzgerald, and you know, actually like Zelda had all those ideas and he just put them to paper. And I actually just think that like putting it to paper and like coming up with the characters is the work, and I don't know, I like the story.
From what I remember reading, I think that was obviously less garish, way less unsubtle in the way that Boz is. So to see that sort of flipped on its head was super exciting at the time. But yeah, it's one of those stories that as a New Yorker resonates with me because it feels so of its time and of that place. Whereas, as we've just briefly mentioned earlier, this feels like it's of nothing.
It feels
no
like it's
time.
The Black Eyed Peas era of culture. Like, I was like, this, it's like an extended Black Eyed Peas music video. And I don't dislike it. I'm more just like in shock and awe that it was made in the style that it was, because like I had never seen it before. And then I recently watched Elvis, which was like sort of like mixed reviewed, and I really liked it. I thought it was like really fun. I like, you know, it's bombastic, it's big, it has like some of those like touches that we like about Baz Luhrmann, and here those touches are really weird.
I mean, not to dunk on Elvis, because I know a lot of people enjoyed it, but to me that was not something that I enjoyed sitting through, because it felt like the world's longest movie trailer of all time. I know that's been sort of a take that's been floating around the internet for a while now, but with this it benefits from at the very least having the structure of the book. I can't remember if there was the framing device with Nick in the sanitarium though, or if that was like a conscious nod to Citizen Kane or something like that, where we're telling the story.
I think that's new. As somebody who hasn't read the book, but just did, you know, some research on the movie and kind of what went into it, I think that was one of the main things that was changed in the script, was to kind of give it like that narrative background.
With Tobey Maguire giving his best old man voice.
Toby, he just proves to be
okay,
like,
Toby, this is not good.
Like, it just, like, was he ever good?
Yeah, I think Toby Maguire is a good Spider-Man. I think he's good at that. I think he's a good Peter Parker. He's a good, he's good in the Ice Storm and Wonder Boys. I think he had,
I
like,
thought he was good
run
in those two, but this is a movie that, like, it makes such you a question. Bad performance. It, like, rips the rug out from under what you've, like, previously seen and, like, your beliefs that you've held about this.
Yeah.
Character.
It's like he's not, like, a nepotism actor, but he kind of is through being, like, Leo's boy. So he's kind of, like, it always feels like Leo's pulling some strings. Like, come on, like, let Toby be in the movie. Mm-hmm. Let him do his thing. And they're like, all right, fine. Yeah, he's kind of been like off the grid for a while. And then
he's
I guess he's in Babylon,
right?
He is in Babylon, a movie.
As is Lucas Haas.
As is Lucas Haas. The whole posse's there except for Leo. Yeah, a movie that's not dissimilar to a movie that probably would have been better if Baz Luhrmann directed it. It's not dissimilar to this. Except
there's less Watch the Throne cuts on Babylon.
There's not as much Watch the Throne in Babylon, unfortunately. I can't believe that score is getting any recognition. It's a fucking horrible score. Yeah, I don't know. But that's the thing. Baz Luhrmann, he can do big and bombastic. That's in his blood. That's who he is as a director.
Well, he's almost like the originator of, like, I feel like this version of it, you know? Like, he's almost like the drag queen of, like, old. I don't know. There's, like,
he's
something.
He's
like
a director that you think is gay but isn't gay.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
He is not gay.
I had that broken down to me during the credits of Elvis at the screening I went to. I was like, wow, you know, it's very out. And the person I was with was like, no, he's married to the producer. I think that was the story. So that took me by surprise. I feel like this degree of extraness is very plastic in the way that something like a Babylon feels so like salt of the earth, feels almost grassroots by comparison.
I mean,
maybe it's because that was shot on film and Baz Luhrmann's movies are all digital.
This feels kind of screensaver-esque. Like
this one does. I think Elvis the Great Look works. This one,
the Elvis I like. Yeah, and I haven't seen Babylon.
Well, I think because this initially was released in 3D, right?
Oh yes, my god, I had, you're right.
I had made a note because I didn't see it in 3D, but I couldn't remember if it was a 3D release. Yeah, that was a note of mine.
I think that was the thing, is that it came out. It was in like the years after Avatar kind of brought back 3D for a little bit there, and then everything just started getting released in 3D.
I mean, that would explain the brightness and the overcranked saturation. I mean,
or the scene where Daisy is introduced, where like all it's just like kind of ridiculous, like all the scarves around her. Again, I was on mushrooms.
I was on NyQuil.
Yeah, wait a minute. All the scarves. Are you talking about the?
No, it's not. It's like the billowing.
It's just like a veil. Curtains. Like it's like it's a reveal. Okay.
There's like 10 billowing curtains.
Mm-hmm. It's just like a little too much where I'm like, are you trapped? Like,
yeah. I thought you meant you had watched the scene where Gatsby gets the room full of flowers.
Okay.
And you had thought the flowers were scarves because you were on mushrooms.
But yeah, there are moments in this movie where I'm like, I don't think this movie works entirely. But there are moments in this movie where I'm just like, wait, is he just throwing 100 Ralph Lauren shirts at me? Like, sick. That's amazing. It's one of the most amazing things ever. I wish, like, if that's like, it's now like, it's on my playlist of things that I would watch just to cheer myself up, along with like, what's his name? Val Kilmer's Jim Morrison saying he wants to go eat some tacos, and like Ice T saying, I want to shoot you so bad, my dick's hard. And now DiCaprio throwing shirts. Like, it did give me something.
That scene is insane. I guess starting at the sort of beginning of the movie, it pretty much lets you know right away what you're about to watch. Mm-hmm. I think like he kind of hits you with all of it. I haven't seen Moulin Rouge since it came out.
Me either.
So I don't really like, have any.
I don't love it.
Yeah.
But I recognize that it's like really meaningful for a lot of people. And I think it's probably a little more like functional than this movie. Romeo plus Juliet. It's just one of my favorite movies of all time.
Yeah. I think that's the one that a lot of people, at least our age, like grew up on and first knew Baz Luhrmann from. I've never seen Strictly Ballroom.
It's good. I've never seen Australia, but I really want to now.
I'm morbidly curious about Australia. Mm-hmm. It's long. It's very long.
I think also Romeo plus Juliet is probably the one, Max, it's the soundtrack that has more of our taste in music.
Sure.
Where it's like Moulin Rouge is like a fun, interesting thing. It's kind of doing the same thing, but with like more poppy songs, which I do like, but I don't know. That Romeo plus Juliet soundtrack is probably
it's
my
like
favorite
a classic
of all time.
Soundtrack.
Yeah.
But I think what works in Romeo and Juliet outside of like the nostalgia that we have for it too is like it's still set, it's modernized, so like it makes sense. Mm-hmm. That this music, not that I don't think you can do something cool with like newer music and an older setting, I think that's possible obviously, but like
Bridgerton's doing it,
it makes sense in Romeo and Juliet. Mm-hmm. The whole aesthetic and vibe like all clicks. Also Romeo and Juliet's like exceptionally like well acted. I mean, we've talked about before how great John Leguizamo and Harold Perrineau are in that movie, and like Leo and Claire Danes are good. Like everyone's good in it.
Everyone's great in that movie.
I don't know how I would feel if Romeo and Juliet had like I Can't Stop playing in it. I want to say that I Can't Stop needle drop in The Great Gatsby is maybe the craziest moment of Baz Luhrmann's filmography. I think that startled me. that was really jarring. Somehow, No Church in the Wild almost fits in a weird fucked up way.
Yeah, there's sometimes I feel where you're going for. I think that what I was saying while watching that, because I what would have worked for me a little bit more soundtrack wise is if it went full Kesha.
Buzz, we need you to go full.
Or like Pitbull. Like if it goes like full like Timber.
Would Jay-Z have had the desire to even sort of curate for the soundtrack? Because another note that I had put down was Jay-Z's, I just wrote Jay-Z's chokehold on this film. And then I was reminded at the end of the film that he produced the soundtrack or was at the very least at some sort of executive level. He would have probably thrown Grizzly Bear. That was his big thing back in 2010, 2011. His mantra was like, indie music is going to be bigger than hip hop. And 10 years on, that has not come to pass.
No.
The lead singer of Grizzly Bear is now a therapist, from what I understand. Yeah, he quit music to just pursue that.
This whole era, like Grizzly Bear is like very like 2010 to me. Like it makes me think of like Blue Valentine. But Jay-Z obviously had a huge chokehold on just like, I think, the entire music industry at this point.
In a serious way, like the Kesha thing, kind of a joke, but would have liked it. What I actually think could actually work is a full Robin soundtrack, which is also like of like sort of.
Oh, that would be tight. I would be into
like a little more poppy, because I just don't know if the Jay-Z aesthetic like fits our characters here.
But I think it's supposed to, because Jay-Z is just like all about like money and capitalism and fucking, yeah.
I also think that you're right. Like I don't really should have just played Empire
State of Mind.
Well, to that point about
Alicia Keys, or you know, like.
Yeah. To that point about the I Can't Stop needle drop, it lands on such a flatly shot, weird looking party. It's just a bunch of people in an apartment, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
Or a hotel room. And they're all just kind of gyrating.
Like a speakeasy. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Whereas
it's a lame house party. It's a lame party.
All the other songs used, I feel like they land on moments that are a lot bigger, if not as big as the songs themselves. Right. And there's more movement involved. Whereas this was just, oh, we're just kind of in a room with a few scantily dressed ladies. And this is playing. The lyrics are edited so that certain words are taken out or certain lines are just completely skipped over. Yeah, kind of landed with a dud.
It feels like even using like the Jay-Z produced soundtrack and like having him as like the fucking like kind of vibe of the movie, especially at that time. It's like, again, I haven't read the book. I don't know exactly what the message is. It does create this kind of confusing thing of, are you like endorsing this lifestyle? Do you think this is tight? I don't know. Because anytime you're going to use Jay-Z that way, it's going to make me automatically assume that you think this is tight.
I had been drunk just twice in my life. And the second time was that afternoon.
I'm not the first person to say this. I think it might be something that Chuck Palahniuk said too. Like it might just be direct from the source, but this is like a huge influence on Fight Club, which you can tell. Cause like, I like this narrative because it is a story about like what it is to like look at another man when you're like a quote straight man. What I like about it is like he's more coveting being Gatsby than like wanting Daisy. Like I think that there is something like really interesting about the interplay, and I think it is just like what it is to like look at like your boy. And I don't think there's like that many things.
That's what
like,
Scott Fitzgerald was telling. It's about what it's like to look at your boy, not in a gay way, but like in a like, damn, that guy seems kind of tight way.
It's like, yeah, he rather look than do himself. And I just think that like Tobey Maguire's performance is just so dead on arrival that it like really like the air is like left out of the room, where it's like something like Fight Club, even though there's like a twist, like you really like feel it feels electric. There's like some sort of like chemistry there. And like I think DiCaprio is really good here. Like he's
my friends and I
were like, damn, was this like right before people kind of started dogging on Leo a little bit? Like
I'm glad you mentioned that.
Pretty hot here.
Another thought that I had written down was this sort of at the time, or had the internet already known about the whole like 25 and under thing? Was he?
I don't think it mattered as much when he was younger.
Not okay.
You well, know, it only really.
How old is he now? Is he in 47? His
57?
Yeah, he's got to be almost 50.
I bet he's 47. So I bet he was 37. So it was like
he's 48.
He's boyish.
All right, so he's 48.
I think once you turn 40,
he's 39.
It gets grosser.
So he's like in his last gasp of being able to like, this is it, old sport.
This is his last gasp as like a heartthrob.
I mean, this is also the same year that he does Wolf of Wall Street, which I think is arguably his best or one of his top three performances. So yeah, he does these like big bombastic like excess movies in the same year. I think he's good here. It's a really interesting performance for him, actually.
I think it's a great performance. Like, I just wish that he had, I wish that the movie had, was just a little more ironed out. And I think that Tobey Maguire is terrible. And like, I really like her, but I think this is one of the worst Carey Mulligan. I think she's miscast.
Yeah, I was wondering whether or not she was working, and
she doesn't really register.
She does.
I think that's the problem, is like, I just didn't even really care either way. I was just like, oh, there's Carey Mulligan.
Yeah, it seems like they're trying to cram her into something big that she doesn't quite fit into.
Elizabeth Debicki, oddly, carries more weight.
And she's really good.
I did have a laugh at the first thing that Tobey Maguire says about her, is that she's frightening. And I'm like, I don't know if that's the first impression. Elizabeth,
well, I think if you're Tobey Maguire, she probably
is. Everyone she's is so frightening.
Yeah.
Look at this big woman.
Yeah. And I also like Isla Fisher.
That's right. Yeah, she's in this as
Seems
well.
Seems like she's like vibrating on like more of a comedy, but I still
like Isla Fisher. Her accent is bonkers.
Oh, it's so bad. I also just feel like they gave her, like, her costume straight up looks like they got it at like a porn store. That's like,
yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, when she comes out, I was like, what the
she's
fuck?
Like, I know, yeah. It looks like someone at like the Mac counter did her makeup. But that's kind of like the vibe of the movie. So like, I think that at some point I was like, maybe the fun version, the Kesha version, is if everyone is sort of like on her level, because she just looks like she's going to a Great Gatsby party.
She looks like she's in the Lady Marmalade video from
Moulin Rouge.
Like, she just is like,
oh my god,
from a totally different vibe. I don't know what her accent is. It's like, well, it's kind of like a,
it's Betty Boop.
Yeah, yeah, it's like a cartoon New York accent. Where,
yeah, it's Betty fucking Boop.
It's nothing really. I mean, especially where they're supposed to be, because if I'm not mistaken, Gatsby is out on Long Island, and that gas station is sort of just in the mix in Queens. It's probably based in Queens, if memory serves correctly. So
yeah, it's supposed to be like this industrial, like, kind of middle point that connects everything.
And that's not to say that, when does this take place again? 1920
Prohibition. Yeah.
22.
Okay.
Yeah.
I can't exactly speak to what Brooklyn and or Queens accents sounded like then, but I don't think they were, to what Courtney had said, were quite like Betty Boop, because it does sound very heightened.
To not her defense necessarily, but what I will say is, like, if we're talking about like the dawn of cinema, I do think that if you think of like old actors, they do kind of like crank up like their weirdness in their voice. I think she's kind of doing a little bit of like old movie twang. Listen, is she out of her element? Yeah.
Which is fine if everybody's on the same page, but she just comes like barreling into the scene. You're just like, oh my God, who is this woman?
Well, to that, I mean, Jason Clark,
no, who plays her
husband. Oh, yeah. The guy that's in like the Planet of the Apes franchise now.
Yeah, he's just doing Jason Clark does American accent. I think the only actor outside of Leo DiCaprio that works in this is Joel Edgerton. I feel like he is pitch perfect for this.
He's
film.
Never been bad in anything.
Mm-hmm. He's like, fantastic.
After this, we rewatched The Gift, because again, we were rolling on mushrooms.
Yo, The Gift is low-key pretty good, actually.
It's fantastic.
It's really dark.
Erica was trying to explain to her girlfriend what it was about before we hit play. And Erica said, quote, "It's about this guy and he's all freaking out and stuff."
He was really fucked up.
Yeah.
What a great double feature on mushrooms. We're going to watch Great Gatsby and Jason Bateman's The Gift.
You know what else Joel Edgerton is good at that maybe is rotten that I kind of stand for is Jane Got a Gun. I
haven't seen it.
Oh, the failed
he's really
Ramsey
good
movie.
Yeah.
I always like Joel Edgerton. I think he's very good. There's a movie that came out this year really quietly called The Stranger that he's in that he's really great.
Yeah, I don't think he's ever given a bad performance.
No, I think him and Leo and Elizabeth Debicki are like, they're in the pocket. Like, they are in the movie.
They're in a good movie.
They're in a good
movie. The person that I think you could swap Carey Mulligan out for that could have worked, even though she's not always my favorite, is Natalie Portman.
She was up for the part.
Really?
She, I guess, wasn't interested. Scarlett Johansson got the part and then backed out because
Scarlett's
of scheduling
issues. Weird for that part, too.
She seems too...
She's indelicate. In a good way. That's she what makes her a great more... action star.
Yeah, yeah. I feel like Carey Mulligan on paper sounds right.
Yeah, maybe, she wears that haircut.
Carey Mulligan, I just... briefly want to detour into, I don't know what has happened to her American accent in the last few years, but it has gotten more and more unhinged. She started doing, I can't even begin to understand, I don't know what region it is. It started, I think, with Promising Young Woman, and I just watched She Said, and it's like really intense. It's like really dry and like really like, it's almost like a cool American accent. Or
yeah.
Like she's trying to be like a cool girl or something like that. It's a really bizarre accent, but she does not have it here.
No.
So I don't know where it came from.
She's very whispery. She gives like kind of a Monroe performance, which I do kind of think like misunderstands the character a little bit. Or in the first Gatsby, which I don't really like with Redford, I think that Mia Farrow's incredible in it. She's like incredibly like spastic and fragile and like kind of scary to be around. She seems like someone that might just like throw herself in a building at any moment. She nails it. I think that movie is just boring.
I was thinking maybe her choice of accent here was sort of guided by her indecisiveness throughout the whole film. And in a way, it I don't know, that hesitation throughout seemed to translate to just this weird lilting voice that she puts on for most of it. It almost sounds like she's trying to play down a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Right.
She sounds so...
like she's like on downers. Like, okay, that's what
she seems now in her newer movies, where she's like, I wish my voice isn't fucked up. I need to perfect Carey Mulligan's American accent now, because it's truly bonkers to me. It is just like a trash accent.
Mia Farrow's Daisy acts like she's on coke, and this Daisy acts like she's on like fentanyl, and it's strange.
She's Gen Z fucking Daisy.
Yeah.
I guess Amanda Seyfried was another actress who was up for the part, who probably would have been better.
Yeah.
She's a little more like interesting. Michelle Williams, I guess, was considered.
That makes sense.
Abby Cornish.
Oh.
Rebecca Hall. Rebecca Hall is like so good that I just don't.
She's just so good that I'm sure she could make it work, but I don't. Hey, she's in the gift.
She's a great actress. And then I guess the Tom Buchanan part that went to Joel Edgerton. Do you know who was going to play the part?
No.
Affleck.
Oh, actually, I think that's really good casting.
I think it's an interesting casting choice. He had to back out because of Argo. I mean, look, you know, I'll put my boy in anything, I'll watch it.
I think he's a fun choice for that. Like, I think he's a great,
Yeah, it's an interesting, especially at that time, it's an interesting choice. I guess Bradley Cooper really wanted the part for a while.
He could be Gatsby.
See, I feel like Bradley Cooper will probably direct a great Gatsby of his own in the next 20 years. I mean, with the way that he's taking projects off Spielberg's hands, it's like if there's one in development. Yeah. Yeah. Direct and star.
He's a great actor. I think he's a good director who can, I'm happy to see whatever he does. I do think Joel Edgerton really works in that part, though. He's really good because he feels scary in a way. He does feel like a guy that could potentially do some fucking damage.
But I kind of think that Ben Affleck would have done it in the way that he did. What was it? Deep Water? Like, he would like vibrate on like the Deep Water vibe.
I'm getting cucked. So fuck it vibe. Mm-hmm.
There's something about Joel Edgerton in this that feels unhinged in the way the rest of the movie sort of is posturing itself to be. For me, I just think the artifice of the entire piece just doesn't allow it to be that. There's conversations in cars that don't feel like they were filmed in the real world. Just the sheen of fakery that was
incredible.
Constantly pulling me out of the film.
It looked like The Sims.
Right. The first time we see Gatsby's home,
crazy.
I thought they had comped in like shots of Disneyland, the castle at Disneyland, because it looks almost identical to it.
Or when like an architecture agency is like, this is what your building will look like someday. Mm-hmm. Like, and like, here's a 3D. It's a whole movie of anytime you're supposed to be outside, that is what the movie looks like. Yeah. And then it's narrated by a warbly fucking Tobey Maguire.
I'm a fucking alcoholic.
Yeah. Honestly, really, what are we talking about?
Maybe?
We should have a Gaga Gatsby.
I mean,
Gaga could have played Daisy. We just didn't know it.
Bradley Cooper, Daisy. Daisy
Bradley
Gaga.
Cooper,
Lady
Daisy.
Bradley Cooper, Daisy.
Reunite.
Come on, girl. Apparently, there was a trailer for this that had a cover of Happy Together by Filter, which I'm just like, how did Filter get into the mix of this soundtrack? How
we
are
got
they like,
is it,
we got Jay-Z, we got Andre 3000, we got Beyonce, we got Filter. I would be like, where does Filter come into play?
Yeah.
We got the fucking Goo Goo Dolls. We got Johnny Resnick.
See, actually, at that point, then it's like more like the Romeo plus Juliet.
Yeah, Filter belongs on the original Romeo and Juliet soundtrack.
Yeah, it's like, you know, fuck me. Like, I like that Everclear song. I like Everclear.
That Everclear song is tight.
It's really good.
Anybody says the Everclear song on the Local God soundtrack is tight as fuck.
Sick, yeah. And I mean, that's a weird soundtrack because it does that. And then there's like a Candy Stanton disco song. Like it's like everywhere, and somehow it feels of a piece.
Because
and
I think the 90s like were a little more like that. Like whereas that, like yeah. This period of time, it's a little more like, okay, unlike what Jay-Z thought with indie rock being bigger than hip hop, that hip hop really was the new rock. And that mm-hmm. was, I think, especially at that time, I'm like, yeah, that was explicitly clear. Like, I don't know how you could think like Grizzly Bear is the future.
Yeah, I know.
You guys heard Mike Snow, he's going to be huge. Okay, it just doesn't make any sense to me. God, I can't believe this is 10 years ago.
I know.
Jesus Christ.
DiCaprio's girlfriend was like 13.
Beautiful.
I mean,
she's growing.
It's interesting to consider because to your point about Tobey Maguire's accent work, I feel like the movie loses faith in itself after a while, because there's a point where he starts writing yeah. and then they just throw the text on screen for us to read in addition to him narrating it. But it almost feels like, we know you're tired of hearing him talk, just read the text, you know.
Well, it's just funny to me that nobody else was ever considered for the part. Like, it was
that's
just like,
wild.
It's for Toby. Toby's got it.
There's like 100 other people that could have been better at that.
Didn't somebody recently ask him in a Reddit AMA why he was such a shitty tipper?
Yeah, you sent that to me and it was amazing. It was like Reddit AMA, ask me anything, and why are you such a shitty, like, are you still a shitty tipper and servers have to beg each other to take your table because you're so mean?
Well, isn't Michael Cera and Molly's Game supposed to be Tobey Maguire?
Oh, really?
I think that was the whole thing.
That's funny.
For the celebrity poker game. Yeah, he seems like I don't know. He's hard to get like a read on. Like, he almost seems sociopathic in a weird way.
I mean, listen, cancel now, but like, could Casey Affleck from McDonald's Bar?
He would have been much better.
I know, because it's like kind of a similar role to Jesse James, where it's like, that's another movie about what it is to look at your boy.
And then fucking shoot him in the back of the head.
I'm going to have, that's my next on-stream film fest. What it's like to look at your boy.
No, I think
but
Casey
that is
Affleck
another
is,
movie
is good.
About like how it's to look at someone more spectacular than you. And I mean, like,
yeah, for sure.
You know, it's like, I think I like that model, like Desperately Seeking Susan as a movie, but that's what it's like to look at your girl. But she's not your girl yet because you have amnesia. But yeah, I think Casey Affleck would have been a more natural fit. I don't know. Just really anybody.
No, I
just
think Casey Affleck is the more interesting. Giovanni Ribisi would have just made it creepy.
Even, that's what I mean. Like, at least if we're going to have like a weird mumble tone, I'm like, can we get Ribisi in here, dude? Like,
I want to be your boy so bad.
Okay, so to that end, I'm refreshing my memory here. Does Gatsby know when Nick Carraway arrives that he's related to Daisy? Like, does he contrive for him to live?
I think so.
That's what it seems
from
his
garden. I think so. Yeah. I think he is.
Okay. Because I know that in Tobey Maguire's voiceover, he makes a point of saying, like, it feels like he was being watched. Like, he was monitoring him so that he could invite him to the party and have this introduction set up.
But then I also don't know if he just feels like he's being watched. I don't know. I think it's ambiguous.
Yeah, because it definitely felt like that, but it's not really.
But also, like, that's his perspective. Like, it could just be completely innocuous. And maybe maybe Nick is like projecting that onto Gatsby because like he is the one looking, like he is a nosy neighbor. Maybe the only way that you can like look at another man is if you decide that they are looking at you first.
It's not gay. They look at you first.
Please stay tuned to my spin-out podcast, Looking at Your Boy.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know who else was even really like a...
I'm sure nobody. Oh, I thought you're set up. Okay.
No, I think that... I like the Casey Affleck suggestion at that time. I know he's done for
kinda
now.
Kind of like simpy beta male.
I think he could have done that. I mean, who else was like a Tobey Maguire at that time? Even by this point, it seems like Tobey Maguire's past his prime, though.
I think so, too.
Like Andrew Garfield, the other Spider-Man?
Yeah, the other Spider-Man. There's something too fancy looking about him.
Andrew Garfield?
Mm-hmm. I like Andrew Garfield.
Who's like a good cuck in 2013?
Oh,
because you need someone to just kind of bleed into the background.
What about the dude from The Leftovers? No, he's like kind of cool looking. The one with Jennifer Aniston. Yeah, I don't know.
No.
Okay.
He's huge. What are you talking about? He's like he's like right. Buchanan, if anything.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
Is there anything else we want to touch on for The Great Gatsby? I mean, there's a lot in this movie, but
I just really hope that people seek it out. And I'm not kidding, because it's fun to return to something like this, because like it's trying to be timeless in the, probably like, I'm sure that he was trying to be timeless with Romeo plus Juliet, and he kind of like nailed the time and timelessness. And this movie could only be made within like the 2 year period that it was made. And there's something like really endearing about that.
I wonder if he even like intends to make it timeless, because it does feel like such a specific time capsule.
Were there no other directors attached to this? Was this always a Baz Luhrmann thing?
Oh, I'm sure there's been so many directors that over the years that have tried to do a Great Gatsby.
It would just be such a different movie. Like there's some directors that I'm like, oh, if you do it and you do it, it's like kind of the same ish. But once Baz Luhrmann attached, like it's a totally different movie.
It's a Baz joint.
I gotta say, I do love the logos. That was another thing that I enjoyed about Elvis as well.
His logo.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't even realize until I watched this. I was like, oh, this is like Baz's like own studio.
Yeah,
logo.
It felt like stepping into a vault where the movie only exists there, which is, I guess, just a testament to it being a Baz film, where it's almost like a genre unto itself. I don't know. I can't think of anybody else who could have made it, at least not in this way. As you said, it's aiming to be timeless. It's aiming to be refined, but because of the degree of artifice with which they've made the thing, the only thing that they've got to hang their hat on is on Leo, who sort of seems, not that he's bad, but his performance is out of step with everybody except Joel Edgerton and Elizabeth Debicki, because they're just kind of like off key. Tobey Maguire is, in a weird way, he seems too old to be enamored with.
That's another thing too, is I was like, he just seems past his prime even at that point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're just like, what is he doing here?
Lana Del Rey got the bag, so it's all good.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's another specific to its time because of Lana Del Rey in it.
I guess James Franco's too handsome to play Nick too, right? I'm just throwing out canceled celebrities to play Nick.
Is Dave Franco canceled?
Dave plays him.
No.
Dave plays him.
Dave could play him.
You seem like a really cool guy.
Yeah.
I like hang out with you. Like, please. They should have just got Jonah Hill to play him, especially at this time.
Oh God,
he was so,
so
obsessed
funny.
With Leo. He's my
or
best
the
friend.
Dude who plays Pete on Mad Men, I think could be fun as Nick.
But he has his receding hairline. I'm 25.
Is John Hamm too old to do a version of Gatsby?
Yes, but like culture just like won't
it
let
it just seems like
go.
A sleaze bag though. I would just be like, I don't know about this guy.
Unless they did some sort of time twist thing where they just, we'll just put it in the 60s
think,
and it'll
honestly,
be like Mad Men all over
right.
again.
I think that Bradley Cooper would be, like, if we do one in the next 10, like I'm happy if Cooper gets that. I think he'd be funny.
He's like older now though.
He is older now. He is older now.
Just let Baz direct it every 10 years with whatever popular music there is at the time.
Yeah. I want like an FKA Twigs.
Yeah.
Or The Weeknd and FKA Twigs.
Oh, you know The Weeknd would be on this.
Oh, The Weeknd should. The Weeknd and Baz, like, that is a match made in my heaven. Please work together, gentlemen. Like,
yeah. I would hate to invoke Jay-Z again, but I feel like
he would probably
be like, just use the Renaissance album, use the whole thing.
I was gonna say, is this like a point of Jay-Z where he's like, not like he doesn't realize that his spouse is better? It's just like it, this soundtrack should sound like the Upgrade You song. There's trumpets on that.
Like, yeah, no, the most jarring part of seeing Avatar was when it ended and all of a sudden I just heard The Weeknd's voice and I was like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't know he did a song for it.
I mean, that felt genuine in the way that, like, I don't know if you guys recall the Travis Scott song at the end of Tenet.
Yeah,
where it felt very much like Chris Nolan discovered black people and they like
Tenet.
I don't know what that was.
Yeah, I think that Baz is supposed to sort of like reverberate on the Sunset Boulevard vein too, because that's like
with the death. Yeah.
Yeah. And the narration and stuff like that. It's misguided, but it's a lot of fun. Do psilocybin, hang out with your friends. I will say, like, we just need to screen grab the shirt throwing scene. Like, when that was happening, my best friend, who like loves clothes and thing and gifts, she was like, this is actually like my dream. It's just someone throwing expensive
he throws clothes
shit.
At her for so long
for so long.
I thought I was like, hallucinating from all the and I was like, this motherfucker's throwing a lot of clothes at her right now. Like, it seemed to get violent at a certain point,
to the point that she starts crying.
He's
just a breakdown. Where would you rank this film, say, in the pantheon of fits in Baz Luhrmann's catalog versus just like films in general?
Oh, it's probably one of the lowest of his outfits. It's just like, it's not his fault that this was the ugliest clothes we've made in a really long time.
Mm-hmm. It did win it's the Oscar makeup. For best it's costume honest, design.
I guess like for me, the makeup is really distracting because right. it does look like someone at like the Mac counter did your makeup.
Leo's got a great sweater in the scene where he's throwing clothes at her. Mm-hmm. I was like, I would yeah, he love looks fucking hot. That sweater. I still think Romeo and Juliet's costume design, look, maybe it's a nostalgia thing, is the coolest. No. I just think it's a really good design.
It's so good.
Everyone just looks great. And I love that all the guys are in fucking Hawaiian shirts.
Their Halloween outfits are fucking incredible.
Yes, the Halloween outfits it's are like, great.
That's a stroke of fucking genius right there.
Elvis has great costumes. There's great costumes in Elvis. Good I topic. Love the Colonel's Christmas sweater. That is the top.
Did you post that on Christmas or were you too sick?
Oh, fuck. I should have. Fuck you, missed up.
It. Next year, set a Google alert.
I know. I got to do it every Christmas. Where do you think, Will?
Oh, Elvis outranks this by a long shot. Okay. As far as movies in general, this is like, it's weirdly pedestrian in the way that it wants to be so outsized and so glamorous. Yeah. It almost kind of negates itself.
It's like new money.
Right. There's a couple of moments at Gatsby's first party where they cut to just some random for hire entertainment doing the Charleston with a bunch of dancers. And it's totally out of step with the rhythm of the music that's playing on the soundtrack. So they must have had something playing live that they had to have. It just felt like, I hate to use the word lame, but it really did feel
No, it's so lame. It's lame. Because some of the lameness, I think, is actually works in Elvis. Elvis is like a movie where once you surrender to it and forget that Tom Hanks is in it as much as you can, you're like, wow, this is actually pretty fucking fun. And this guy's giving an incredible performance. Unfortunately, it comes to a screeching halt anytime Tom Hanks comes on screen. God, I can't imagine like giving that performance as Elvis and then that's the guy you're in almost every scene with. I feel like, dude, you got to
do you think that that hurts his chances at winning big come February or March?
You know what's funny is like I think people really as much as they love like musical biopic performances, I think his is probably one of the best. I'm just like, if Rami Malek can win,
oh yeah.
Even That's though, a really good point. Like, I think Austin Butler genuinely gives a very good performance. Also, because he doesn't really look like him, but he convinces you.
He does.
Like, halfway through the movie, you're just like, oh, yeah, he just looks like him. I mean, I would still give it to Colin Farrell, but I think Austin Butler should get it over Brendan Fraser, though.
Sorry. I haven't seen The Whale.
You don't need to. Have you seen The Whale, Will?
I've seen bits and pieces of it. I feel like that wins the fat suit competition, though.
So you've seen, like, the full prosthetics.
Yeah.
It's insane.
It is. Yeah, from the scenes that I have seen, it looks theatrical to the point that I was just thinking, oh, this would make a great stage play. Oh, wait.
Oh, no, it's even worse. Google the photos of the stage play.
Oh, no.
Google the Whale stage play. It's a very clearly not fat actor in a fucking massive fat suit on stage.
I mean, Brendan Fraser is a big boy, but he's not that big.
Well, no one in Hollywood is that big. Look, I like Brendan Fraser. I'm very, you know, I'm glad he's getting recognition. People seem to be treating him like he's like a sick child or something, but like he's great and he deserves all the recognition in the world. But I mean, if it comes down to that, I think Colin Farrell in Banshees is...
I think Colin's going to win. I think there's so much good. I don't know. You're right.
I think it's just any of those three guys.
My closet optimism comes out where I'm like, it's
Colin. The problem is that Colin Farrell gets the smallest performance.
Yeah, he's people don't subtlest. Like that. Yeah.
And it's a comedy, but he's fucking Look incredible. Look at those eyebrows.
He's so fucking hot.
He's so good. He just nails that dialogue too.
You know, I wonder if Elvis will be up for production design because I'm curious to look into whether or not Gatsby did because I don't know how you
Gatsby won some even, costume.
It won costume. It wasn't up for
okay. Because I don't know like what
I think Elvis will be is going to do not a film
that works.
Yeah, it was only nominated for costumes and production design, and it won both of them.
Oh wow!
Wow. Wow. See, in my opinion, this is not a film that works to the degree in which it's steeped in its artifice because the book just felt like old New York. Elvis works a little bit better because like when I think of Elvis, I think of Las Vegas, but Las Vegas to me is kind of like a snow globe of insanity to begin with. Vegas just to me is the Strip. And the Strip, I mean, if I'm not mistaken, the Strip has a roof on it now, does it not?
You could figure out a way to walk from Strip to Strip. Within the various casinos and malls. However, the casinos are, I'm kind of like a Vegas stan. However, like the malls, I think it sucks. Like, I think it's America's pop-up ad, but like, I also think everyone should go a couple, like I'm trying to go this spring. I really enjoy it. though I hate it. But it would take forever to get from strip to strip, not completely outside, because each casino is made to keep you inside of it. So it just becomes like maze-like. So the best thing to do is to go outside and like find Taco Bell Cantina, the best bar.
would you happen to be a one from the heart defender?
Yeah.
Sure. Oh, I want to see one from the heart. It's rotten, so we can talk about
it. Yeah, we can talk about it.
I've been wanting to see that one for a long time.
I mean, on the topic of production, does that, they probably spent whatever Las Vegas's real life electric bill is, that's what they probably spent to rebuild it on the
yeah side. All the stills I've seen from it, they look incredible.
One of the craziest decisions ever to not shoot that on location.
I mean, Coppola is going to go out with a bang next year, man.
Is it 200 million of his own money?
I thought it was 100 million. I thought it was 100
million. That could have been made
into
mediocre wine, though.
No, that's what he's been selling all that wine for. So that he can fund his passion project with Adam Driver and Shia LaBeouf's comeback already. Wonder how that's
how does this movie end? Obviously, Gatsby gets shot in the back.
And Daisy runs over Ela. Here's what I will say. The book is the end is like wild for us. Like, and then, yeah. And apparently he goes to a fucking sanatorium, which doesn't happen.
Also, when Jason Clark shoots him, I just was right before he shoots him, when he's getting his gun ready, I was laughing so hard because he's just like drunk. It's like some drunk fucking idiot just pulling out a gun going, God sees everything.
Yeah.
And just leaves his house to kill you. Oh, my biggest laugh in the movie, because you hear Old Sport, like we talked about.
Like, it's a million times. It's a drinking game.
So you hear Old Sport like a million fucking times in the movie, but then in the flashback when Leo's talking about the real Gatsby and like who he became, there's a shot of the fucking drunk old guy who gives him his wealth or whatever, and it just like slows down and he goes, thanks, Old Sport.
Yeah.
And I was like, no. Oh my god, this is fucking crazy.
I think I thought I was just high when that happened.
Yeah, I was like, oh my god, he slowed
down. I know
down.
That the guy said it, but I was like, your brain is tricking you into thinking that's better. So.
Love's a little catchphrase. I mean, this Old Sport is this movie's my boy from Elvis, because that's said a million times as well.
I mean, Boz has got to have a great sense of humor, though, because he knows how the way that he focuses in on Tom Hanks in that movie saying he's white. I was like, he knows this is funny. He does like a big dolly push on him to go, he's white. And then 360s around.
No.
I was like, dude, this guy's a lunatic.
That's funny.
Love it.
Yeah. No, that shit's funny.
I don't know. I guess it's maybe like because everything is dying that it feels like anything really like kind of bombastic that has like a personality and a vision behind it, even if it's kind of a train wreck at this point, I'm like, you know what? I'll take it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I think that's why I kind of did like Elvis as much as I did. And also I do think he directs the hell out of that movie. I think he puts, you can tell he's putting a lot into it.
Would you say that Gatsby was in need of more hedonism? It's not a very sexy movie.
No, it's not that.
I mean, Boz can be.
I think it needed like more terseness, but. Whatever. I don't know. I don't know what it needed, but I liked it.
I think it's just kind of its own thing, and you either like it or you don't.
Yeah,
and clearly,
you either just like surrender.
Yeah. Like it has its defenders. I know that like, what's his name? David Ehrlich really likes it. He really went to bat for it at the time of its release, but not a lot of other people did because it has a 48%. I was kind of surprised it was that low. It seemed like something that would have just like gotten a pass. I don't know why.
Seems about right.
Rex Reed of the New York Observer. Rex Reed said, I love the publicity quotes by Baz Luhrmann stating that his intention was to make an epic romantic vision that is enormous, also overwrought, asinine, exaggerated, and boring, but in the end about as romantic as a pet rock. Peter Travers of Rolling Stone said, there may be worse movies this summer than The Great Gatsby, but there won't be a more crushing disappointment. David Denby of The New Yorker said, Luhrmann's vulgarity is designed to win over the young audience, and it suggests that he's less a filmmaker than a music video director with endless resources and a stunning absence of taste. Ouch. I mean, it was mostly mixed, it seems like, for this. Like, it was a lot of people that were like, look, I kind of appreciate what you're doing here, but no, thank you.
I don't remember it setting the world on fire in the way that
some it did really well. It made a lot of money.
Oh, wow.
I guess we could probably chalk it up to film Twitter not being... Was Twitter even a thing 10 years ago?
Yeah. It was. It just wasn't what it is now.
So if this gets released in 2023 as opposed to 2013, is it a phenomenon on the internet?
I don't know.
Could it get like the Cats treatment?
No, because it's not like a fucking...
No, disaster.
No, I think it probably would. It probably, I don't know, because with Leo as the lead, that does a lot of heavy lifting for
you. Yeah, it does.
I just feel like the metrics of viewership has changed so drastically, like completely unrelated as far as the content of it is concerned, but something like a Wednesday on Netflix where, you know, that did what, like 200 million hours or something like that. And Jenna Ortega is like an international superstar because of it.
Yeah.
Well, so, that girl's fucking agent is working overtime. That fucking girl's, I don't know who her agent is, but God.
Yeah. I would just be very curious to see how this resonates today. Cause I just, I feel like I was in a small camp of people who, having just had read the book, was so disappointed leaving the theater.
But I think that's
seeing the text on screen just made me think like, man, I'd rather just read the book again.
No, I can see that. I mean, again, like, I think it's like, if you have a, and especially a book like this, that like so many people have a strong relationship with or have just read and understand and know, me not being one of them.
I think it could have been a good fit because of that, because like Romeo plus Juliet, like everyone just knows the story. So it, you get to just like make it your style. And this is just like sort of off.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, I guess because Romeo and Juliet too, there's so many iterations of it that especially at that point, it felt kind of fresh. Yeah, I don't know. It's so hard to say what even... what resonates today and what doesn't, even from 5 years ago, it's so different. Mm-hmm. It's like, I mean, it's fucking depressing. The sad part is this probably does come out, do fairly well, and then it's on HBO Max a month later.
The next day, yeah.
Elvis did well.
Yeah.
Elvis did really well. Like for a fucking, got a summer release, like it made over $100 million. It's sustained like word of mouth. So, you know.
Is that not streaming yet?
Oh, no, it's been streaming. It's on HBO. Yeah, it's on HBO. Yeah, I mean, the things that do well have some sort of... Even Elvis is like, it's not a friend. It's not like a IP, but it's like, it might as well be. It's Elvis.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Not that the Whitney Houston movie's lighting the world on fire right now, but I like how they had to add Whitney Houston's name to the title. Because it was just coming out as I Want to Dance with Somebody. And then they were like, call it Whitney Houston. I Want to Dance with Somebody. My God. Nobody knows what this is.
Yeah, that's a movie that I've had some trouble wrapping my brain around just because Naomi Ackie looks nothing like Whitney Houston.
I mean, that's
and from what I understand, she's lip syncing for her life. That's from the bits and pieces I've seen. She's doing a great job at that. So
who's everyone's MVP for Great Gatsby?
Come on. It's DiCaprio.
I'm going to go Joel Edgerton.
I'm tempted to go Joel too because...
Really?
But Leo is kind of the thing
the
where
movie.
It's like, he's that's the thing. Like,
they have
if
to
you
like
don't
repeat
have
the
Leo,
banister scene from Titanic to get people wet. Like it's, but it was in.
If you don't have Leo,
so
the movie does crumble.
To you, no,
he puts
it's
everything
Leo.
On Leo's shoulders.
Yeah,
I
Leo has
that.
It. Yeah,
I think it's Leo, but Joel Edgerton does, I think, give the best performance in the movie.
Yeah, fine, but it's Leo.
It's Will I Am. No, Leo is one of the few guys, that, even if he's not one of my favorite actors, but I think he's great. And you can hang an entire movie on him if you want to. Final rating? I'm going to say train wreck.
It's a train wreck. This is the meaning of a train wreck. That's why I'm so happy today. You, as like everyone who listens to the podcast knows that like I like a train wreck, like usually more than like, I liked it. Or cult classic. Like train wreck to me is just right by misunderstood masterpiece. Because the train wrecks could, like, I don't know. I love them. This
I don't think
trainer.
You can feel like indifferent to a Baz Luhrmann movie. You're going to have some sort of a reaction to it. Mm-hmm. So that's
Great
Gatsby.
Go watch it.
That's
the
Great Gatsby.
$3.99. Yeah, worth it.
Well, thank you so much for coming back, man.
Yes, I really enjoyed this. Thank you for having me back.
Been wanting to have you back here. Well, where can people find your work?
Largely on Vimeo, but on Instagram, I am at Will Makes Films. And for music, I am at Willie Mason Music. That's Willie spelt W-I-L-L-I-E. Just dropped 3 new music videos this month. Reconnected and 25 by Ross C. He is at Ross C Lyrical. And Black Thing by Section 2. His album, Heaven Only Knows, is out now. He's pretty much on every social media platform at Section 2. That's Section T-O-O. I've got a few things in the works. That'll be coming out next year.
Fuck yeah. Awesome. Yeah, check out Will's work. This guy is fucking prolific. I envy how quickly you are putting things out. And they're always fucking great looking too. Please,
thank you.
Please watch Will's work. If you're listening, you're listening on Patreon. Thank you enough. Thank you for standing us, for supporting us, for being there for us. And we'll be posting soon about our next mini series.
It's going to be good.
It'll be a good one.
This girl is excited.
Happy New Year. Thank you so much for
Happy
listening.
New Year. Thank you. It's my scripture. Let me